Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We have some numbers for you. I remember we were talking about population versus republic. I remember I have mentioned studies and surveys and whatever they want to do to, or whatever they want to use, I should say, to influence you on how America thinks. We are a republic. We are not a democracy. And so when we start talking about how America thinks, you have to put it into context of how each state independently perceives and thinks about things. So if you think that because the way they project surveys, if you think a survey done in California actually is a good indication of how America thinks, then you've got another thing coming. Because the people in Colorado may think a little bit like California, but I'm telling you, the people in Nebraska, Kansas, especially Wyoming, the Dakotas, they don't think anything like California and possibly Colorado. They haven't been drinking the Kool-Aid. They haven't been taken over because the least populated states have kind of been ignored. Now, there's reasons why you'll find that some of these states have a hard blue influence. That's probably because of the attractiveness towards the opulent elitists. Now, I will tell you that Wyoming does have its opulent elitist over in the Teton area, over by Yellowstone, where millionaires, Hollywood stars, I think Redford, communist Redford, and a lot of the opulent elitists like to buy their homes and mansions on a bunch of property. And as a matter of fact, I've talked to people regarding the cost of homes and how people will go there and they'll realize, you know, how much money they can, let me rephrase that, how little they spend on how much more of a home they get. They'll come in and they'll buy the home and then they'll realize that, shoot, the only part is, I mean, they love it. They're out in the middle of nowhere. They've got all their privacy. It's just like awesome. But then there's no Tiffany's down the street. There's, you know, there's only a Walmart 50 miles away. And so they go, well, why in the heck did I move here? So it's not uncommon that somebody that is an elitist that pours a lot of money into a home, and then they abandon the homes, and those homes literally sit there on and off the market, on and off the market for years, because here's somebody that spent, let's say, $3 million to buy the property and have a home built. And a lot of this stuff they just had imported as far as materials and just had the people, good craftsmen and so forth, do the work. And the funny thing is that the majority of the people in Wyoming, their standard of living, or I should say the average income per household, is actually very low. And so somebody has built a home well above what the economy can bear. And so that house, that's one of the reasons why these huge homes just sit on the market in places like Wyoming. Because until somebody comes along and says, yeah, I want to live here, or unless somebody has the kind of money that says, you know, this would be my nice 2-week vacation home, because they have that kind of money. And so those are the types of homes that are usually in those price ranges. But again, they're in the very specific corners and so forth. Now, here's the interesting thing. You would think that the people that build a home there, that identify this home as a residence, well, they wouldn't be voting there. The question is, are they? Because let's say that they spend more of their time in California or New York, and they only spend a couple of weeks, do they vote in the state of Wyoming in contrast to where their primary residence is? Now, I don't believe the states down at the voter register rolls actually keep track of whether this is a primary residence or not, and whether this person lives in the state for more than so many days and so forth. You would think that they would try to, but that's a lot of noise for the register of voters for every state to determine, is this a snowbird? I mean, that's what they call a person that flies in either when the snow is there or when the snow isn't there, because depending, you know, some people would go to Colorado and the elitist have their homes in Boulder or what have you, so that they can fly there during their Christmas vacation, have their skiing retreats, and then go back to the beaches of California, Florida, or what have you. And so when we start talking about how Wyoming thinks, how the Dakotas think. Now, see, you don't have this opulent elitist problem in the Dakotas and in some of these other states. Because why? You can't buy property up on the side of a mountain that has this beautiful command of the sunset or the sunrise or what have you. You're out in the prairies. And there's, even though Little House on the Prairie was a very popular show, there's not a lot of people that are going out to buy a home like Little House on the Prairie, especially the progressive elitist that want that kind of home. So when they start talking about homosexual marriage, when they start talking about people going to church and not going to church, we got to be very clear. They're talking about the density population in these dense states. Now, if you were going to conduct a survey, would you rather conduct a survey in LA, New York, Miami, you know, Dallas, in a heavily populated city so that you can kind of do a sampling? I'm here to tell you that if they're trying to do a true sampling of the very diverse group of people that live in this beautiful republic that we have, then I'm here to tell you that they just don't have the time and resources to commit to that type of analysis. And even though they'll tell you, oh, well, this is pretty much a predominant way of thinking for the people of... No, it's predominant way of thinking of where you've done that sampling. I'm here to tell you that if you go to some of these dark red states, like Alabama even, the way the people think in Alabama compared to the Dakotas is different. And so when we hear these studies that this is how America is trending, they're telling you how the blue states are trending. Because if you look at the most populated blue states, and I've got a lot of different data here, and so I can tell you the details, and I've got some analysis for you, but none of this will really, you know, create the epiphany that what you have to walk away with is that whenever you hear somebody doing a survey, somebody is trying to create a petri dish, or somebody's actually trying to take they're taking a petri dish and they're taking full control of it. So in other words, only a very specific thing is going to grow in there, or only one outcome is what they're looking for. It's like when the tobacco companies want to go out and prove that tobacco isn't really bad for you, they do these studies. Well, of course, it's biased. It is slanted to actually make and help them look good so they can sell their products. The same thing with alcohol. Hey, you know, alcohol's great for you. If you have a drink a day, whether it be wine, beer, maybe even moonshine, somebody could probably find a benefit for you to just have one glass of moonshine a day because it does this one thing. Forget the damage it does to your liver. Forget the damage that it does to your brain cells and the rest of your body, because alcohol is a toxin. It's a carcinogen. It does damage to your body. Well, that's okay, because there's these other benefits. Well, I'm here to tell you that those benefits are, they do not outweigh the damages that they do. You can actually get similar benefits, like if you just drink, instead of wine, just drink grape juice. Because, like I said, alcohol actually does damage. And so people want, because it, I get it, you like to have this. I love chocolate. I'm not one to shy away from having some chocolate. They'll tell you clearly that dark chocolate actually has a better health benefit because it's lower in fat, it has these other antioxidants and so forth, and that exists in chocolate. But if you look at milk chocolate, which is like 20% or less of real cocoa, and then it's got mainly butter, sugars, and other things mixed with it, compared to the dark chocolate, which is like 70. Have you ever had almost 90% dark chocolate or cocoa? That stuff is strong, and it is not like your milk chocolate. It is a very bitter chocolate, and there's a reason why they put a lot of fat and sweeteners and so forth in chocolate. But I've digressed a little bit here. We've gone down this path and talking about the states and numbers. So when we come back, we'll dive into those numbers, because I was talking about how the least populated red states compared to the more populated blue states wanting an amendment and so forth. So let's talk about the numbers when we get back, and then we'll get into the bounty, the cod fishery bounties. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so let's talk about the 13. And actually, let me just throw some numbers at you, just so you kind of understand the demographics of our republic. There are a total of 19 blue states. And oh, by the way, there are representatives. They're non-voting representatives, but there are representatives for Puerto Rico and Guam. Isn't that interesting? And that's what at Puerto Rico, not Guam, Washington, D.C. And the reason they want to make Washington, D.C. a state is because they know that it's a dark blue state. Now, if you look at how many blue states there are, discounting D.C. and Puerto Rico, there are 19 blue states. There are 31 red states. That's a pretty significant difference. One third, basically more. Anyway, if you total up the 13 least populated red states, the total population comes to 24 million, basically almost 25 million, but we'll just round it up to 25 million. If you look at the 13 most populated blue states, we're talking about 126 million. That's a significant difference. And so when you look at who are the most populated states, I even have that information for you. And so when we look at, let me go ahead and put it in rankings. And so California by far is the most populated state. But here's the interesting thing. The next two most populated states are not really considered highly populated states. They're Florida and Texas. Then you go to New York, which is based on the 2019 estimates. Now, this is not the census. And fortunately, next year is the census year. So we'll have a good snapshot of what the population is for 2020. Pennsylvania would be the fifth most, and that's red. But when you add up California, New York, Illinois, New Jersey, Washington State, Massachusetts, Maryland, Minnesota, Colorado, Oregon, and so forth, that's where you get. But that's just because California has got basically 40 million people in it. Now, I don't know, you know, how these all lay out, but what I do know is how these lay out with population and demographics. And so when we look at how the information is being presented, how California, New York, and these really blue states are demanding that we get rid of the Second Amendment, that we, you know, make it impossible, we ban different weapons altogether, and they want to actually set aside our liberty. We're just a couple of years away from that, to where some of these even red states turn blue, because I even have the information regarding what is the most red state and what is the least red state. Virginia, Arizona is about to turn blue. Virginia is about to turn blue as well. Michigan, well, it used to be blue and it's turning red. Iowa, well, okay. Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Texas. I mean, when we get down to Wyoming, Wyoming is the least, you know, the furthest state away from being blue as far as the people goes. But here's the thing. The people have been fooled and bamboozled by what we call rhinos. But let me get back to amendments. When we talk about actually changing and getting rid of the Second Amendment, so what these people want to do, these March for Lifers, these people that are out trying to actually ban weapons without having to touch the Second Amendment. What they are doing is violating the Second Amendment. And our only hope is to get states like Wyoming and South Dakota, Idaho and Utah, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, or Missouri, Kansas, Indiana, Ohio, and Wisconsin, getting those states to start challenging the veracity of these attempts in trying to take away our liberties. If these states do not stand up, then we are done for. Because as so goes the attitudes, and that's why getting rid of rhinos in these dark red states is more critical than ever. Don't worry about your blue state. It is lost. the only thing that will save you, your liberties, and even your blue state are the red states. Because once the red states start asserting that the federal government can't do this, that they can't allow these types of things, states can't even take away your privileges and immunities that are guaranteed by the Constitution, which is your right of free speech. As they start trying to, you know, regulate hate speech, as they start trying to regulate all these different expressions and so forth, I'm here to tell you that the red states are your last bastion of hope. This is why I have been begging you for the past 2 years to save money, to contribute to getting rid of the rhinos and these puppets and shills and hacks for the progressive agenda. There are plenty of them, and I'm about to name names in some of the states. This is where we need you to get on board. We really need you to become a part of the solution. If you are in a dark red state, and if you don't know, I'll just go ahead and read them. It is Wyoming. These are, let's just say, red states. If you live in any of these states, you need to be reaching out to us so that we can start helping you. We want you to tell us who the rhinos are so that I can actually help by telling everybody else that we need to target these people. We need to get a good constitutional conservative into running against these folks, filing and actually challenging them at the polls. What we want is we want our candidates to sign pledges of resignation that if they violate the Constitution, if they violate their oath of office, and if they fail to demand for republic review, demand for full compliance to the Constitution by the federal government, then they'll resign. They won't seek office, and so we can hold them legally to that. Just imagine, we have these public servants take an oath, but what does that mean? That means nothing in the magnitude of their, you know, their integrity. They don't have to have any integrity whatsoever. They can just get up in front, raise their arm to the square, say they're going to support the Constitution, and then trample on it. And they don't think you understand, and they don't care, number two. And number three, if we get them to sign a pledge of resigning and we have proof that they have violated the Constitution, and here's a great example. If your state legislatures are taking money or spending money on unconstitutional, like an environmental program that is mandated, it's not within their Constitution, and it is mandated by the federal government, then they're violating the Constitution because the federal government cannot mandate anything other than those things that are enumerated. So, in other words, they are supposed to be challenging the federal government and any type of position that they're taking in trying to force these federal programs that are unconstitutional upon the states. So that we get rid of these folks. We just get rid of them. So we need your help. And that's why I'm constantly groveling. We need your help. I mean, I know we ask for money, but more, and I always say this, more importantly, we need to get you involved in your local community so that you can start challenging these rhinos. Here's what you got to do. You have to get active in the Republican Party. Now, the Republican Party requires that you're not active, not registered as a Constitution Party, Libertarian. That's because they want to make sure they own you completely so that they can tell you what to do. Well, they can't tell you to violate the Constitution. And if they do, we want to know about it. Because we believe that the Republican Party that is controlled by the national elitists, they don't care about the Constitution. They're more than happy to shred it. Party over country is the paradigm. We need to put the country and the Constitution over party. So that's why we're hoping, and that's why I'm reaching out to the Constitution Party very specifically. Let them start challenging and let them take the high road in Wyoming, the Republican Party is on the high road, but there's way too many other red states where the Republican Party is not on the high road, where the Republican Party just puts on this facade that they're on the high road, but they are working ardently in making sure that and helping rhinos get seated and stay seated so that you're looking, oh, we've got Republicans and we're good. Well, everybody scratches their head, like in Idaho and so forth. They go, how come our state legislatures are actually passing bills? So Idaho has been actually getting very active in trying to take control of that. But I'm here to tell you that they're not doing what they should be doing. They're not really going after, because they're going after their planks and these, they're using these, they're not using the Constitution as their foundation. And so that's why there are things that are going on in Idaho that are unconstitutional, but they're still within the boundaries of the Republican Party. We have to center ourselves. I've said this all the time. We have to center ourselves on the Constitution. With that, we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
So the most powerful thing I can share with you is the fact that 25 million people can keep this nation from going over the brink. Because all the blue states, with what is their total in their numbers? I want to say it's like, I've got it right here. So one, no guessing. In the blue states, we're talking about 130 million people. 25 million people in 13 red states can stop the landslide that these almost 40 million people will want to inflict upon us. That's the power of American republicanism. Not just republicanism, because republicanism is a representative government. You can have, like in Britain, you can have a republic, but that does not have any safety measures. We have safety measures that say you have to have 3/4 of the states, and when we have 13 states that are willing to stand up and protect our liberties with again, only 25 million people. They're only representing 25 million people. Then we have the makings of a gift from the divine hand of providence, because we really have a super minority that's able to stop the super majority. Not 50% plus one. We're talking about an overwhelming majority. If I add up all of the blue states in contrast to the red states, the blue states do have a much higher population than all of the red states. I think all the red states is just under 120 million. And basically it's about 140 million for the blue states. And these numbers, if you total it all up, they don't make sense based on all the other information. But this is just Wikipedia data. Next year, when we get the census and we know exactly what these other states have, and again, even the census is sampling, it's not 100%, but it's the most accurate numbers that we can come up with. And so anyway, I just wanted to assure you that the way our republic was designed by our Lord, our Creator, or as the framers called it, the divine hand of providence, we have a system that actually will protect us and actually keep the federal government and government in check, as long as the people understand what the processes are. That's why we go through these things. That's why I show you all the time that you have to amend the Constitution. As long as I've got 13 states that say no way, no how, they can't do these things. So what they do is then they pass this... these big noble acts like the Civil Rights Act. That's a big noble act. And it's not a constitutional amendment. Then they say this act is now the law of the land. Well, it's not. The only thing that becomes the law of the land and it becomes affixed to the Constitution are amendments. It's pretty simple. This isn't rocket science. It's either in the contract or it's not in the contract. If it's not in the contract, the federal government has no right in regulating this amongst the republic. Now, they do have the right to create these acts and impose them upon the inhabitants of the District of Columbia, and that is it. And we cover this all the time. And that's probably why you listen to this show, because we just cover the facts, my friends. We just cover the facts. And one other fact that I need to impart with you before we dive into these bounty payments for the cod fisheries is the fact that this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And this is the only show that actually talks about tangible solutions, and we found these solutions in academic evidence. Okay? Now, if you haven't seen our video, this little 5-minute, almost 6-minute video, it's up on YouTube. Go to the Take Action page on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, and you will be able to actually see this. It's a good overhead video. So when you're talking to people and they want to know about Republic Review, send them that video. Send them a link to the video and say, here, if you want to understand what we need to do, here's a quick introduction to this. Okay, the listen line, if you can't listen to our shows in their entirety, you need to put 605. Let's say you're driving around, you know, you're driving from one state to another during the airing of the show because you're on vacation and your kids are wondering what the heck is going on in the Republic and what are we going to do? Then you just dial up 605-562-4209, and that's how you can actually listen to this show over your car speaker by using your, you know, your Bluetooth or what have you with your phone line, and you don't need to miss a minute of the show. And the audio quality is actually very good. Now, the obligatory groveling and so forth, I will just suspend next week. You know, we're coming up on Constitution Day, so we will be covering the Constitution. But let me dive into Madison's comments. And I'm starting off with Madison. Mr. Livingston had just spoken on the floor regarding the need to be able to pay money to the cod fisheries to help subsidize them. Madison gets up, and this is what Madison says. And, oh, by the way, This is February 6th, 1792. So, you know, this is in the heart of winter. And if I remember correctly, 1792, they are still meeting in New York for as Congress before they, you know, finally move to their final position in the District of Columbia. And I don't even, I believe the concept, the concept of Washington, D.C. becoming the seat of government hadn't occurred yet, because that deal, I believe, was made later on in the summer while Madison, Hamilton, and Jefferson were having dinner over the Assumption Act. Anyway, let me dive into this. And this is what Madison says. It will follow in the first place that if the terms be taken in the broad sense they maintain, the particular powers afterwards so carefully and distinctly enumerated would be without meaning and must go for nothing. Now he's talking again, this is about the General Welfare and Defense Clause, or the General Defense and Welfare Clause, right? And so when we get into Article 1, and I read this all the time, but it is imperative that I actually read this for you. Article 1 is the powers of Congress. Section 8 is the powers of Congress. The Congress shall have the power, and then subsection 1, this is the preamble, to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises, to pay the debts, and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States, but all duties, imposts, excises, in other words, everything that they do, should be uniform throughout the United States. So they're supposed to do it by apportionment. And then he said, because Mr. Livingston had declared that they needed to actually use the General Welfare and Defense Clause so that they could get the federal government to help subsidize the expenditures, or not the expenditures, but help subsidize these efforts that are being done by the federal, not the federal government, but by these fisheries. In other words, what they're looking for is getting the federal government to help pay out. And so, actually, let me give you the introduction before Mr. Madison says, before Mr. Madison gets in this. And this is, on 3 February 1792, the Committee of the Whole began consideration of the Bill for Encouragement of the Cod Fisheries. As passed by the Senate, the first section of the bill placed the existing drawback, parentheses here, of the import duty on salt, close parentheses, to exporters of salted fish, with a new one based on tonnage of owners of fishing vessels. Debate on 6 February centered on the advantage which the bill bestowed on New England and stressed the importance of the fisheries as a source of trained sailors in case of war. So in other words, they were making this connection that having these trained sailors and being able to do this and subsidize these cod fisheries, this is a way we could actually help bolster our defense and so forth. So anyway, actually, let me start off with the first comment from Mr. Madison, and he says this. In the conflict, I feel between my disposition on one hand to afford every constitutional encouragement to the fisheries and my dislike on the other of the consequences apprehended from some clauses in the bill. I should have forborne to enter into this discussion if I had not found that, over and above other arguments, as appears to be natural and pertinent to the subject, others have been introduced, which are, in my judgment, contrary to the true meaning and even strike at the characteristic principles of the Constitution. Let me premise, however, to the remarks which I shall briefly offer on the doctrine maintained by these gentlemen, that I make a material distinction in the present case between an allowance, doggone it, and this is where he was just really ramping it up, in the allowance. So we will take it back to let me premise, and so we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
You know, my friends, because the good men like Madison and the other framers are no longer in the halls of Congress, they have hacks, they have bad players, they have evildoers with machinations to try to subvert every facet of our government. And they've been very successful for the past 200 years because nobody has been defending the Constitution. It is the state's responsibility to reprimand the federal government when they start crossing that line. That's exactly what Madison and Jefferson showed us in 1798, that the states are duty-bound. So the reason we have this unthinkable overreach by the federal government is strictly because the states have not been doing their job. They've not been echoing and repeating and parroting what the framers had said during the ratification debates and what Madison was saying right here. So going on, Madison says this, "Let me premise, however, to the remarks which I shall briefly offer on the doctrine maintained by these gentlemen, that I make a material distinction in the present case between an allowance as a mere commutation and modification of a drawback and an allowance in the nature of real and positive bounty. I make a distinction also as a subject of fair consideration, at least between bounty granted under the particular terms in the Constitution, a quote," he's using quote, "a power to regulate trade, and one granted under the indefinite terms which I have cited as authority on this occasion. I think, however, that the term bounty is in every point a view improper as it is applied, not only because it may be offensive to some and, in the opinion of others, carries a dangerous implication, that also because it does not express the true intention of the bill as avowed and advocated by its patrons themselves. For if, in the allowance, nothing more is proposed than a mere reimbursement of a sum advanced, it is only paying a debt And when we pay a debt, we ought not to claim the merit of granting a bounty. It is supposed by some gentlemen that Congress have authority not only to grant bounties in the sense here used, merely as a commutations for drawbacks, but even to grant them under a power by virtue of which they may do anything which they may think conducive to the general, quote, general welfare, close quote. This, sir, in my mind, raises the important and fundamental question whether the general terms which has been cited are to be considered as a sort of captation or general description of the specified powers, and as having no further meaning and giving no further power than what is found in that specification, or as an abstract and an indefinite delegation of power extending to all cases whatever, to all, at least, as will admit the application of money, which is giving as much latitude as the general government will desire or would desire. I, sir, have always been convinced, I believe those who propose the Constitution conceived, it is still more fully known and more material to observe, those who ratified the Constitution conceived that this is not an indefinite government deriving its powers from the general terms, which is these, you know, the general defense and welfare. That's what he's talking about, the general terms, that preamble that I talked about, subsection 1 of section 8 in Article 1, deriving powers from the general terms prefixed to the specified powers, but a limited government tied down to the specified powers which explain and define the general terms. In other words, subsection 1 is just a preamble or setting general terms, which is why 2 through 18 exists, which is why that list of they shall have the power to do this, and they shall have the power to do this, and they shall have the power to do this. The rest of that section, subsections 2 again through 18. Anyway, the gentlemen who contend for a contrary doctrine are surely not aware of the consequences which flow from it and which they must either admit or give up their doctrine. It will follow in the first place that if the terms be taken in the broad sense, they maintain the particular powers afterwards so carefully and distinctly enumerated would be without meaning. And that's where we are today, my friends. All those other powers, because they believe that the general welfare and defense gives them the power to do anything and everything, they have rendered everything that follows inconsequential and moot because they have taken general powers instead of the specified powers that follow. Okay, so, and must go, so would be without meaning. All those enumerated powers after subsection 1 would be without meaning and must go for nothing. It would be absurd to say, first, that Congress may do what they please, and then that they may do this or that particular thing. After giving Congress power to raise money and apply it to all purposes which they may pronounce necessary to the general welfare, it would be absurd to say that at least to superadd a power to raise armies, to provide fleets, etc. In fact, the meaning of the general terms in question must either be sought in the subsequent enumerations, which limits and details them, or they convert the government from one limited, as hitherto supposed, to the enumerated powers into a government without limits at all. Now, it doesn't matter how Congress interprets. It does not matter how Congress interprets that clause. What matters is how the states interpret that clause as it was defined to them. And this is what Madison said earlier, right? It doesn't matter what we conceived. It matters what the states understood at the time of ratification, because how it was explained is how we have to behave. Those are the terms. And that is why the ratification debates are the most important documents. They are the true treasure of our constitutional republic, because they clearly elucidate, they clarify exactly what everything means. And here is Madison in an official capacity shutting down this concept of these general terms that the federal government is applying to their unlimited powers. He moves on. Madison moves on and says, it is to be recollected that the terms common defense and general welfare, as used here, are not novel terms first introduced into this Constitution. They are terms familiar in their construction and well known to the people of America. They are repeatedly found in the old Articles of Confederation, where although they were susceptible of as great latitude as can be given them, by the context here, it was never supposed or pretended that they conveyed any such powers as is now assigned them. On the contrary, it was always considered as clear and certain that the old Congress was limited to the enumerated powers, and that the enumeration limited and explained the general terms. This is powerful stuff. That one sentence right there is, and if you remember reading, if you've ever read like Andrew Jackson and all these other people that use lots of words, that one sentence right there, and Madison is really, he's pow, 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 firing bullets. Even though this is kind of a long dissertation for Madison, each one of these sentences is very powerful. And this one sentence here, on the contrary, it was always considered as clear and certain that the old Congress was limited to the enumerated powers, and that the enumeration limited and explained the general terms. And that's the exact same application as was sold to the states. But Congress has been able to self-aggrandize themselves with that one clause and say, we can do anything and everything necessary that we feel necessary. And so, my friends, this is what Madison says after this. I asked the gentlemen themselves whether it was supposed or suspected that the old Congress could give away money to the states in bounties to encourage agriculture or for any other purpose they pleased. If such a power had been proposed by that body, it would have been much less impotent or have borne a very different character from what that universally ascribed to it. And so, at this point, we have to kind of, you know, call a break, because I see that I've only got a matter of seconds left. My friends, Madison is clearly shutting that window or portal of the General Welfare and Defense Clause. And that's why we are reading this today, so that you can understand that Congress does not have the ability to interpret this. This was already defined and clarified to the states. The states have to defend this. That's why the ratification debates are so important. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process.
This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.